Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, Lord. Thank you for all our safe travel here, and thank you for this Bible study, Lord, and any time that we can learn your word and know what your word means to us. And please hold Jim up and keep him healthy so we can get more of your word, Lord. And thank you for everything you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You did a good job. Well, keep remembering. What? Oh, well, that's good. Women, female children start to talk a lot earlier than men, boys. That's normal. Women communicate. Men sit there and look like dunces. Women are smarter than men. They're more powerful. They live longer. Everything. When God made woman, he took the best part of man out and put it in the woman. He shot. Did you like that, Chris?
Yeah.
Am I doing all right so far? Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. Women are very important. They're very important. Genesis, Bereshit 37:32. Poor old Jacob is having problems. A man is a sum total of all of his experiences and how he has reacted to them. I wrote that about 40 years ago. And when I was studying psychology, a man is a sum total of his experiences and how he has reacted to them. And let's look how God perfects Jacob. Look how he works on Jacob. Now, he works on all of us, doesn't he? We have all kinds of experiences. Some people's lives are filled with smooth sailing. Other people's lives is filled with car wrecks and train wrecks and everything else you can think of. Well, poor old Jacob had his share of train wrecks and airplane crashes and heartbreaks. Why shall he shoot? Et ketonet. Hot pasim, why ye view el avahim, why yomaru zot matsanu haker na ha keton net vinka he im lo. And they intensely sent and kept on sending the ketanet, the tunic, this tunic. Ha pasim, the one reaching to the flat of the hand, the one reaching to the flat of the hand. Jacob or Joseph's tunic was the honorable, it was the robe of the leader or the heir of the family. He was going to be the shepherd of the family, and he already was the shepherd of the family, even though he was a very young man. His father hadn't given all the reins over to him yet, but he was the one that watched over all of his brothers. He was a caretaker of his brothers. And he wore this very royal robe. And they brought for themselves unto their father, and they kept on saying, "This we have found. Lying like dogs, boy, just lying. Please inspect, notice, regard, now, or please, the tunic of your son, Binkah. Get or not? Is this the one or not? Is this the tunic that you gave to your son?" Now, what have they done to him? They ripped it off of him, didn't they, last week? We looked at, they violently ripped this tunic off of him. And then they took and killed a goat and soaked it in the goat's blood to look like some wild animal. Some wild thing. It's a feminine thing, by the way, this wild thing is. This wild thing killed him. all right, this wild she-monster. How many of you ever heard the name Lilith? Lilith? All right. Sharon, you've heard about Lilith?
No, I've heard
of Okay. Sharon, what do you think?
Lilith. I've heard the name.
Okay, Lilith. How about Brother Roger? What about Lilith?
She was supposed to be Adam's second wife.
He was his first wife.
His first wife.
Yeah, she was supposed to be Adam's first wife. She is the mother of all lesbians. She is the mother of all abortive births. She is the mother and the cause of all young boys going astray after strange women. She is the mother of all evil. Okay? That's Lilith. Okay? Lilith, the mother of all evil. In the rabbinical writings. In the rabbinical writings, yes. The traditions of the Jews. The traditions. What's that called, Brother Roger?
It's either the Mishnah or the Talmud.
Yeah, the Mishnah and the Talmud. Those writings, they used to make amulets for children and for mothers to be. And it would say, this amulet would say, Lilith out and Hava in. Lilith out and Hava in. Out with the Lilith, in with Hava, or Eve. All right? And they wear this, and they would, when a woman was going to get birth, they made sure that she had an amulet. And this basically all started in Germany. Your Va, instead of Wa, started in Germany. Can a German say W's? No. What did he say? Va. Wieder Topper. All right, it's all V's. Now, I know that the Jews say all kinds of things about the pronunciation of their language and all the ancient lore and everything. It's lore, people. But a lot of the traditions of the Jews really took great acceleration in Germany. In Germany. And they were very powerful in Germany. You have to realize that the Jewish people were bankers. In Spain, they would not. This is history, okay? And I probably here I am going off on this rabbit, but maybe it's interesting. How about the pawn shops? Who owns the pawn shops mainly? Historically, who has owned pawn shops? Jews. Why do they have pawn shops? The Rothschilds of England. Yeah. The Rothschilds of England are one of the most powerful, richest people in the world, and they are Jews. They're Jewish. All right? They backed many wars in the world. They basically, they're the people behind the scenes in World War I and World War II. One of the reasons, of course, you know, Luther called for the destruction of the Jews, and so did Calvin, because they believed that the Jewish people were so wicked, and because of killing the Messiah and everything else, they didn't look at the promises of Israel. And they said, let's kill them all, let's put them in work camps and all of this. And that's exactly what Hitler did. Because the German society had been thrashed by the Jewish bankers. Franklin Roosevelt threatened the New York Jews that he was going to strike new money they didn't cooperate with him. He said, I'll make your money worthless. I'll strike new money. New money or none. And he controlled them to some extent. In Germany, part of the reason for World War II is that the German people had been so smashed in the ground and just walked on since World War I that Hitler wanted to come back. And the Jews had so much power in the banking industry. In Spain would not allow a Jew to own a bank at all. So the Jews started hawk shops, and they started dealing with diamonds and gold and jewelry. And, of course, a hawk shop is a bank with collateral. Physical, tangible collateral. Okay? That's how all that started. So anyway, and then the Jews all over the world, There's a lot of superstition in Judaism. A lot of superstition. As much superstition in Judaism as there is in the Roman Catholic Church. You just look at it, and all right, it's almost the same, Brother Mike.
Is Lillian biblical or history?
Lilith. Lilith is, there is one reference to her in the Old Testament, and I cannot remember where it is right now. I may come up with it written down here in a minute. It's in Isaiah or something, brother. There's one.
Do you believe Eve is Adam's second wife?
No.
Okay.
This is legend. Most of Judaism is absolute fictitious. Fictitious.
Yeah.
It's fiction.
A wise tale.
It's legend. The legends. Remember when we started a while ago, the legends? It's a legend. It means nothing. But it is their legend. And she is the woman that they blame for all this. And she's lurking out in the deserts, wherever you are, she's lurking behind. And the young boy's dreams, Lilith is there. Okay? That's what Lilith is. Let's go on here now. Wayakira, Wayomer, Kitonet, Bene, Haya, Ra'a, Okali Ticha, Toroth, Toruf, Yosef. And recognized or observed or inspected. He kept on recognizing, observing, and inspecting for himself. And he said, and he kept on saying, the tunic of my son. The living thing. The living thing. And this is a female living thing. Okay? The living thing. Like Lilith. Evil. She has eaten him. Lilith has eaten him. Okay? Basically. This is where the legend Lilith, they were already thinking of it even back at this period of time. This living thing, this wicked, wicked beast. She has eaten him. And then surely torn flesh, freshly torn. He is torn in pieces, Joseph. Freshly torn, surely, freshly torn. Plucked, ripped apart is Joseph. Ripped apart is Joseph. Or what?
I have a question about this. Being that his coat was dipped in goat blood.
Yes.
Don't they by now know the difference in the smell of goat blood versus human blood? You know, they kill all these people. It smells different. I mean, I used to work in a meat department.
Yeah.
I could tell you how each meat smells very different. Chicken from beef.
Oh, yes.
It smells. Whatever, you know, from pork.
That's the Indian coming out, Indian. You know that.
No, I mean, and that was my first job out of babysitting, you know. And I did that in high school. So anyway, I thought, as soon as I was reading that first.
What is the first thing that goes when you get old? They say, what?
Your
sense of smell. All right. Jacob's pretty old here. Okay.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, well.
They might be dry by that point.
They ripped him apart. What did Brother Mike?
Well, I don't think it was weeks or months before he got to their father.
It might have been a week.
A week.
It might have been a week. But you could see the stains on it and everything else. Brother Mike. Yeah.
No, I was saying hi at home.
Oh, okay. Hey. Yeah. All right. 37:34. Wayikra. Yaakov. Samolato, YSM, Tok, Bimatana, Yit Abel, Al Dino, Yamim, Rabim. Jacob's character is being built. Yah is building Jacob's character. A person is all the experiences he's had and how he has reacted to them. A man is a sum total of all of experiences and how he has reacted to them. Jacob's whole world now was destroyed. I want you to understand that. Jacob's world is dead. His loves are gone. Rachel is gone. The world, the woman that he loved, that he, as far as he was concerned, that was his only wife. And as far as he was concerned, Joseph was his love child and his only son in all reality. This is the one that he wanted. This is the one he longed for. And now Rachel is gone. Now those women could have had more children. Do you know that? Why didn't Joseph have more, or why didn't Jacob have more children after Benjamin? I think when Rachel died, his love life died. Those women could have had more children if he'd have been with them. But that's the end of it. That was the end of it. Rachel's dead, and now his love child, Joseph, is dead. Now he thinks it. Well, he knows Rachel's dead. And he sees this tunic, this robe, just ripped into pieces, like some wild animal ripped into pieces, and it got blood all over it, and stains of blood. His world is finished. And he kept on tearing Jacob his clothes, his wrappings. That's what the word clothes is there. Simlotol, that means wrappings. Because really, we have come out with a little bit different wrappings. How many of you have ever watched the way a woman, is that called serapes that they wear, the oriental and the...
Sorry.
What is it?
Sorry.
They wrap their clothes around them. They just get a bolt of cloth and they wrap it around them. That's exactly what's here, his wrappings. He was wrapping. They didn't have pants and things like we have today. They had wrappings. All right, men wore skirts back in those days. Yes. And David one time cut off Saul's skirt, didn't he? The fringe of his skirt, which had his genealogy on it. And on this robe was the genealogy of the family. His wrappings. And he kept on putting sackcloth on his loins, on his body. And he kept on mourning for himself, for his son, or because of his son, days many. This word here, rabim, means many. It means to grow. It's an Aramaic word. All right, this has an Aramaic root. This means many. He just kept on mourning and mourning and mourning and mourning. He just about grieved himself to death. Have you ever known someone to grieve themselves to death? People do this. God had a plan for Jacob, but he was grieving. Only by the sustenance of God did he continue to stay alive. 37:35. I have a little trouble talking sometimes. I've had low blood sugar so bad lately, and I had a light stroke, and it affected my speech a little bit and the right side of my face. So if I stumble on you here a little bit, like I have a couple of times, I don't know if you caught it or not, but it's there. Wayakimu. Call. Banal. We call. Benota. Limna Hamau. Why ma'in? Li hit na chen. Wayomer. Ki Edred. El. Benay. Avel. Shiloh. Shiola. Wayabek. Ota. Avi. And he kept on raising up all his sons and all of his girls, and to comfort him. And they're trying to do this in the PL sense. They look at an infinitive construct PL sense. They really tried hard to comfort him. And he kept on refusing. He kept on violently refusing to be comforted. And he said, and he kept on saying, because I shall keep on going down unto my son, mourning and weeping. He planned on dying. He planned on dying. He planned on dying. God, he didn't care whether he lived or not any longer. I will go unto my son weeping and crying to Sheol. And so he kept on intensely weeping for him, his father. There was a great chief among the Comanche people. His name was Quanah Parker. He had a brother named Pecan and a little sister named Flower. His mother was Cynthia Ann Parker. And Benjamin Benjamin Franklin, boy, Benjamin Franklin said, back in his days, he said, we have a lot of trouble. We make it against the law for a white man to go and run off into the Indian society. It's against the law. And it could be on pain of death. They would hang him if you went off and lived with Indians. He said, and we'll take Indians, and we'll educate an Indian child, and we'll bring him and raise him among our people. From now on, you know, get him educated in college, the upper graduate school and everything else. We'll do all of this. And then we bring him and we'll put him in society. And if he takes off one time and goes lives with his family, he's gone forever. They never come back. The societies were so different. The American Indian people gave the world liberty. The world did not know liberty at all. They didn't have any idea what freedom was. No freedom. You were born in a class in England, in France, or anything, and you stayed in that class. You didn't get any place else. You were that class. The Indians would not do that. I mean, they just said, everybody's equal. Horizontal. There is no big guys and little guys. They tried to teach them class. That you subjected yourself and you went, you were on a lower plane. You had to look up to certain people. And it says, horizontal. No way. They said you couldn't get this out of them. You could not teach them anything. And he said, if our people now, if they take off and live among the Indians for a while, we rescue them from them savages and we bring them back and we give them the blessed clothes and we treat them and we love them so much. And the first chance to get, they're gone with them Indian savages again. They like the liberty. They like being a human. Different priests would go back to England and Spain and France and they said, those Indians over there are like wild asses. He said, they don't answer to anybody. Nobody. Every man is his own person. Isn't that ridiculous? We can't civilize them at all. Quanah Parker, Cynthia Ann Parker, she was captured by the Comanche. She lived among the Comanche. She married a chief and she had three children. Quanah, Pecan, and Flower. She was captured again and taken back into the white society. And she didn't want to live there. She tried to get away. She tried to... Pecan got away. He stole horses and got back among his people. We don't know what happened to Pecan. Quanah Parker became a great war chief. Matter of fact, he became the chief of all the Comanche Nation. At Fort Sill, Oklahoma, he built a great big house and called the Indian White House. And he guided them and everything over here. I mean, he met with the presidents and everything. He fought tooth and nail for the rights of the Comanche people. Cynthia Ann Parker, they took her back among white society. She had a little girl named Flower, and the little girl died. And she literally starved and mourned herself to death. And they offered her food and said, why don't you want to eat food? She said, food is for those that want to live. Jacob did not want to live. Jacob did not want to live. He said, I will weep until I leave this world. But God wasn't through with him yet. And he kept on weeping. He didn't know that that boy was going to become the prince of Egypt. He didn't know that. All he saw was the physical evidence in front of his eyes. And remember, a man is the sum total of all experiences and how he has reacted to them. And he kept on reaping for him intensely, for him, his father. 37, 36. Yes. Yes, they had a concept of paradise. They believed in paradise. They didn't understand a whole lot about it. Paradise. Remember what paradise means? What was paradise? What does it mean? It comes from what language originally? Dakota, where did paradise come from? What's it, brother? Persian. Persian. Where does it go into from Persian? Into Hebrew. Then it goes into Greek, paradiso, and then it goes into English, and it's paradise. But what does it mean? Chris, do you know what it means? Yeah, Sharon. A guarded pleasure park. A guarded pleasure park. That's what paradise means, a guarded pleasure park. A park of pleasure. And the Oriental Garden was designed to be like paradise. The homes were built, every home. Even the farmers lived in town. Did you know that? They didn't live out in the country. Everybody went back to town because that's where it was safe. And each big, magnificent home was like this. It had a gate. Right here. And the homes were built against the wall many times, all the way around like this. There would be roofs all around here. And out here was a courtyard. And they made that courtyard just full of all kinds of fruit trees and vines and flowers and everything. And this was their guarded pleasure park with a fountain out in the middle. Many times had fish in the fountain. And they would go out there and sit in the shade in the summertime and lounge around on their pallets around in this guarded pleasure park. 37, 36. Now we get another revelation, Apocalypse. We'll take the cover off of some things here. Wihamidanim Makaru Ota El Mitzrayim Lefotifar Seris Pharaoh Tsar Hata Bakim. In this little revelation right here, we're going to find out some things. And the Midianites. Who bought Joseph first?
Ishmaelites.
Now we've got Midianites. He was sold twice before he's ever taken out of the cesspool or the cistern or the well or the pit. And they had sold him. Third person corporal plural, Cal Perfect. They had sold him unto Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim mean? Page 595 in Brown, Driver, Biggs, and 511 in Davidson. What does Mitzrayim mean? Remember what that means? Huh? It's Egypt, all right. Egyptos, all right. But what does it mean, Mitzrayim? That is the land of red mud and canals and dikes and bulwarks. To Potiphar. Petiphras is how it is in Hebrew. It means he whom Ra gave. That's what the name means as far as we know. He who Ra gave. Potiphar. Officer. All right, this officer here. This officer, if you look on page 710 in Brown, Driver, and Biggs, it means emasculate. It means impotent. It means eunuch. The kings of old, they wouldn't let a man in the house unless he was a eunuch. So Potiphar had been emasculated. He had been neutered. He was no longer a male in all reality. Because then Pharaoh's wives would be safe around him. Okay? That's what that word means, Sarit. This is a eunuch. All right? This is a high eunuch. This is a, and even in the Persian Empire, if the king had a eunuch that was a very, very good man, he was, because he was a eunuch, he couldn't have any children, couldn't have any posterity, nothing, and they would, if he became a great warrior or whatever, he had best special privileges. Very special privileges. The privileges of the divine eunuchs. The ones that the king had appointed. All right? And this is one of them right here now. Here, this is a very powerful eunuch. We're going to learn about him. A eunuch of Pharaoh. He's a warrior, a warlord, or a chief, the head of the executioners, as it says. All right? But what is this? What did he do? What did he execute? Did he execute people? No.
More like admin, administrative?
He was a guardsman, a bodyguard, a royal slaughterer. This is a man that went out into the pens, wherever they killed animals, whether it was a chicken or a goose or what it might have been. He went out and he picked the animals and made sure they were healthy, and he personally slaughtered the animals and made sure that was slaughtered and that the animal was clean and fit for Pharaoh. That's what he was. You go chase these words down on page 371. You look that one up. The royal slaughterer, the captain of Pharaoh's slaughterers. He inspected all the animals personally, and he slaughtered them. Now, what happens later on with Joseph and Potiphar? Look, Potiphar got himself a wife, didn't he? Just for looks now. He wasn't doing anything with that woman because he couldn't do anything. He was a eunuch. She was a beautiful woman and everything else, and when Joseph came on the scene, it said he was the most handsome man in all Egypt, and that woman wanted him because she was married, but she didn't have a husband. All right, so just remember this. Put this one down because now you know what Potiphar. Potiphar was a eunuch. Okay, so we'll look that one up later. Go back to that. Why he? Ba'eth. Hahu. Why he red? Yehuda, the F, Atal, Y, Yet, Ad, Ish, Adulami, Yushimal, Hira. Now we are going to go to Judah. This is the father of the Messiah. This is the one that the Messiah's lineage goes back to Judah. Okay? This is him. And became at the time, or in the time, that the that. Look at that. The that. Okay? He went down. He kept on going down. And he turned aside unto a man, a Dulamite. A Dulamite. It's a Dulamite. A Dulamite, a Dulama means resting place. Okay? That means resting place. Resting place 726 in Brown Driver and Briggs, by the way. And the name Hira. Hira. Hira means a distinct nobility. And this was about 1727 BC, according to some chronologies. Okay? His name meant nobility or a man of great distinction. He was an important man. He was a very rich man and a powerful man. That's what Hira was. And he was a Dulamite. 38 and verse 2 now. Layar, Sham, Yehuda, Bath, Ish, Kenani, Yushamo, Shua, Wayik, Tahiha. Wayavo, Eliha. Now, the old devil is at work trying to destroy the gene pool of the Messiah. That's all I can say. The old devil's at work. Now, Leah's sons, Simeon and Levi had killed a whole town of Canaanite converts, hadn't they? They murdered a whole bunch, a whole town. They murdered every one of them, killed them all, because a Canaanite had taken their daughter, their sister, brother.
Now, were those the only two sons that were involved in this? Or?
Well, the other ones were involved, but they were the leaders of it. They were the instigators. They were the captains, the sayers. They were the big shots that went out there and wanted to do this, you know, because that was their sister. Now watch God circumvent the old devil. Okay? Watch God circumvent. And he kept on seeing there Judah, the daughter of a man, a Canaanite. And his name was Shua. Shua means prosperity. This was probably another opulent, rich man. He was his name means liberal and noble. He was a very rich, liberal man. A very rich man. He had many, many possessions. And he took her, his daughter, he kept on taking her, he kept on having sexual relationships with her, and they came unto her. He kept on coming into her. Watahar, Watalid, Ben, Wayikra, Het Shemol, Er. And she kept on conceiving. In other words, she caught seed, she caught his sperm, and she kept it. It didn't slough off, it stayed there, and it grew in her womb. And she birthed a son. And he called his name Ur. Ur means watcher. There's a word in Greek for this. The word in Greek for this is Gregoria. Gregoria. All right? Which means watcher, Gregoria. Where our word Gregory in English comes from the word watcher in Greek, Gregoria. All right? So here we have old Gregory. Whatever you want to call him. I don't know why I didn't write this one down. With Tahar. Okay. Od. Y. Ta. Lot. Ben. Watak. Watikra. Et. Shimo. Onan. Onan. And I'm sorry I didn't write it down. You'll have to write that down. You need to say that again? Or? You got it? Okay. All right. Let me write it down too. Watahar. Watahar, Od, Wetalet, Watalet, Ben, Watikra, Et, Shimo, Onan. Okay. Got it. And she kept on conceiving again. And she birthed, and the child stayed birthed. See, consecutive and perfect in there. A son. And she called Watikra. And she called his name Et Shemo Onan. Onan means vigorous. Arabic. Freedom from toil. Wealthy. The beginning of vigor and strength. The firstborn of Jacob he called Reuben because he was his Onan. He was the beginning of his strength. Okay? The beginning of his strength. In other words, his sperm, was strong. That's what the idea here is. That was the beginning of his strength. Genesis 46 and verse 12, Numbers 26 and 19, 1 Chronicles 2 and 3, Deuteronomy 21 and 17, Psalm 105 and verse 36, and Job 18 and verse 7. And Numbers 16 and 1. All right, 38 and verse 5. Watosef. Now this word is the root of the word Joseph, okay? Od, Watalet, then, Watikra, Et, Shimo, Shelah, Wahala, Bik Zerb, Bilita, Ota. And she kept on adding. See that word she kept on adding? What does Joseph mean? It means to add or increase. That's the root of the word Joseph right here. This is the root of the word Joseph. All right? See that word soap there? Soap, Yisof, Yisof. 414 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. 418 in Kohler and Bumgarner. Still. All right? It still means do again. And she birthed a son, and she called his name Shelah. Shelah means peace or completion. All right? Peace or completion. To finalize, to be complete, agreement. All that's in Shelah. And he had become, in Chezib. The word Chezib means deceitful. Deceitful. In her bearing him. All right? Now here we have three sons, don't we? We have Ur and Onan and Ur, Onan and Shelah. We have three sons now. He's got three Arab boys. Had killed all of these others. Now he's got three Arab boys. The Arab line is into the Jewish line now. Let's see what God does with it. Okay? Let's see how God circumvents old Yehuda. Wayika, Yehuda, Isha, Le'er, Bikoro, Yushima, Tamar. Okay, now he goes out and gets another. He goes out and finds a wife for his son, a woman for his son. And he took and kept on taking Judah a wife for Ur or Watcher, his firstborn. And her name was a tall palm tree, tall and stately. That's what Tamar means. It means a beautiful, straight, erect palm tree, tall and elegant. That's what her name means. Right? Tamar. And I guess this is a pretty good little old gal. She was a beautiful girl. And everything. But boy, we're just about to get into the line of the Lord. We're just about to get all this Arab blood in there, aren't we? Okay? Wahi, Bikor, Yehuda, Ra, Be'ene. And then we have the word Job here. We're going to call him Hashem or Hadavar. Why mit tenhu? And then again, Hashem or Hadavar, Jehovah. And became the firstborn of Judah, evil, evil, evil. He stunk in the nostrils of God. He was evil. This boy, now, remember where these boys come from. They came from over there with Laban. Remember Laban? Laban was a He was a pagan. Even Rachel and Leah were pagans. Rachel stole the family idols. All right? The word teraphim, that means provider, protector, nourisher. That's what the word teraphim. She got those family idols, which were probably, they were worshiping their ancestors and asking them for help and guidance and everything that they did. And she took them because she wanted Jacob to be the head of the family. Stole them from her father, Laban. Well, they're all pagans. And they have pagan ideas. So now we have Ur, which is a terrible boy. I mean, he's got all of this paganism in him. And these boys are mean anyway, aren't they? Jacob's boys are pretty mean, except for Joseph. They're pretty mean. Pretty mean bunch. Like Sam Paul's kids. I tell you what, my family is full of killers. I mean, from way back yonder, Brother Roger, you read about the history of my family. I mean, to tell you what, they slayed people. The real Rooster Cogburn was Sam Paul. He killed a lot of people. When he went out on his arrest, and so, of course, they were outlaws, you know. He went out to arrest these outlaws. And in Indian Territory, the rule of a marshal there was if you arrested an outlaw, a malefactor, if you arrested one of them, you would detain him with deadly force. Now, what does that mean? You're going to kill him. You will detain him. If he tries to escape, detain him with deadly force. And he did. These boys were deadly. And this guy here was wild. This must have been a wild card in the deck. And became Ur, the firstborn of Judah, evil in the eyes of Jehovah. And he killed him for himself and made him dead. Stay that way. He stayed dead. My great-great-grandfather Sam Paul, one time his brother-in-law gave him a bunch of trouble. His name was Mackenzie. And he had married his sister. They were full-blood Chickasaws. And Mackenzie came up and he kept going through Paul's Valley telling that he was going to shoot Sam Paul if he didn't take his sister Lucy back for his wife. Well, she'd left him. He didn't leave her. She just ran off. She went off and left her son Joe. But Gibson Mackenzie was going to make Sam Paul take her back, and he killed two or three men, Gibson Mackenzie had. And Fred Wade had just graduated from business school with a master's degree in business back from Champaign, Illinois. And he'd just come back home. Fred had been off going to college. And he'd just come back home, and they threw a great big party for him. And at this party, Sam Paul was here. And all the Pauls and McClures and Waits, they were all there. My family. All gathered together. Here rides up Gibson Mackenzie, drunk. He's going to kill Sam Paul. And he tells everybody, "Where's Sam Paul? I want to talk to him. He's going to go back with my sister. I'm going to kill him. I killed three men already." Well, Sam Paul, they told Sam, "Don't go out there. Gibson's out there. Gibson Mackenzie's out there, and he's wanting to kill you and all this kind of stuff. Let's go take care of it." Sam Paul walked right into the mouth of a lion. Whatever. That was the real Rooster Cogburn character. Anyway, he walks out in the yard and he said, "What do you want? Get down off that horse, get to dancing, eating, and drinking. Or get out here." "Well, the other, you got a choice." Gibson said, I come here to make sure you take my sister Lucy back with you." And he said, "That's over with, fella. It's gone. It's done. Get off that horse, get to drinking, eating, and dancing, or get out of here." Old Gibson pulls his pistol out, and about that time Sam shoots him right in the heart. He falls off the back of his horse. Sam walks around and puts the other five bullets in his chest and said, "That's finished. It's done. It's over with. Dead, dead." That's what he did here. Jehovah slew him dead, dead. He'd make sure he was dead. He kept him dead. Sam Paul, when he shot old Gibson Mackenzie, and I got the coroner's inquest of that. Just one Indian killed him. Another one, you know, back then, they didn't do anything to Sam. But he did threaten him and pull the pistol on him. That was the end of the world for Gibson Mackenzie. Why Mitten Tehu? And he slew him and kept him killed. Jehovah. 38 verse 8. Wyomer. Yehuda, Leonan, Bo, El, Ishet, Aki, Akika, Weha Bim, Ota, Weha Kim, Zera, Li Akika. And kept on saying Judah to Onan. Onan means what? Strength and vigorous. All right, now here's a strong boy. He's a bit strong and he's vigorous. He's a powerful individual, a bodybuilder, you know, powerful man. You go in unto the wife of your brother. I want you to go in and have sex with the wife, with your brother's wife. Because back in those days, now, if your brother died, the you had to go and raise seed up unto him so he would have a descendants. Because the brother is the closest relative you have. Your DNA is real close. And so they said, now, you go over there and you become a husband to this woman. And take care of her, too. All right? That's what he's supposed to do. And this was the law of Hammurabi here. All right? This was the law of the time. The law of Hammurabi predated the law of Moses, remember. And make... be a Levirate, a brother-in-law marriage with her, and you raise up Zerah seed for your brother. The word Zerah there is sperm for your brother. Simple as that. Seed for your brother. 38 and verse 9. 38 and verse 9. Wayida Onan he Lo, Yeye, Hazira, Wehaya, Ima, Ba, El, Ishet, Ati, We, Shiket, Atsar, Li, Velti, Natan, Zira, Li, Ati. And he knew sexually, this is the same word in Genesis, the fourth chapter, okay, where Adam knew Eve. And he became intimately acquainted with this girl. He knew her body, all right, Onan, that not to him would become the seed, the child, all right. He knew that the seed of his child would not become his. And it came to pass, or it became, he went in, he penetrated this woman unto the wife of his brother, and he caused to go to ruin, intensely caused to go to ruin to the ground. All right? To not give seed for his brother. This is what's medically called coitus interruptus. This was birth control, and I'm not saying birth control was wrong, but this man was supposed to go into his brother's wife and put seed in her so his brother would have a child. Okay? And when he did this, he had sex with her, but when he was going to spew the seed, he pulled out and spewed it on the ground. There's an old, old saying that I heard when I was growing up and later on, and it came from this verse right here. It said, it's better to cast thy seed in the belly of a whore than to spew it on the ground. That was an old saying, all right? Better to cast thy seed in the belly of a whore than to throw it on the ground. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 and 6, and Matthew 22, 24, talks about this. And God killed him. Simple as that. Now, this was a beautiful woman. And he had sex with this beautiful woman. And he enjoyed the pleasure of it. But when it came time for him to spew seed into her, he spewed it on the ground. All right? Now, In the Old Testament, there was laws. You shall not do this, you shall not do that. And there was a what they call the trespass law. Trespass law. What do you do when you trespass? You ignorantly committed a sin. You ignorantly committed a sin, and then there was an offering you made for that trespass. But you go in the Old Testament and you show me where you willingly commit a sin, and if there is a sacrifice for it. Now this was a law. This is a very plain law, and this man broke the law violently and intentionally. There is no sacrifice for that. God killed him dead. Period. Killed him dead. Yes.
Because he did the, wouldn't it stop the two lines
from
going together?
God's cleaning house here. Jehovah's cleaning house, by the way.
He started in one.
Yeah, but see, this was the law. This is the law of Hammurabi. Okay? This is the law of Hammurabi. Okay? He was supposed to do this. This is what he was supposed to do. And God evidently looked with pleasure upon this, the laws. Well, you know, Laban, you know, he said, I can't marry my younger daughter first. You have to take the first one. That was the law of Hammurabi back then. And right here was the law. And this was added, probably this law was added all the way and carried all the way from Adam, as far as I know. Well, he was dishonest. The man was a liar. He came in here to this woman, and he does this, and she knows what he's doing. Her heart's broke. And God killed him. Simple as that. Let's go on, 38 verse 10. Yes.
It says that the woman knew that the offspring would not be his.
That's right.
He
was going to be his brother's child. It would be his brother's child. This would be a descendant of his brother. It wouldn't be his. He was selfish. And he was contemptible. And he was greedy. And he was a violent sinner, just like the other brother that got killed. We got two of them to be killed now. About two. Yairu. B-N-A. And then we have Jehovah, Hashem, or Hadavar. Asher. Asa. Yamin. Yam. Ota. And was evil. And kept on being evil in the eyes of Jehovah. What he had done. And he killed him dead. And kept him dead. He just walked around, shot him off that horse, and put five more in him to make sure he was dead. Done. He killed him dead. Also him. All right? 38, 7 through 10, and 10 through 26 is what where it goes on, okay? 38, 7 through 26, we find out that this woman does have children. This woman is going to be the mother of the Messiah. She is going to be the mother of Jesus, his grandmother, way back yonder. 38, verse 11 now. Wyomer, Yehuda, Lethamar, Kalato, Shithi, Al-Mana, Beth, Avik, Ad, Yikdal, Shelah, Vene, Ki, Amar, Pin, Yamut, Gam, Q, Ki, Ita, Watelek, Tamar, Watishev, Beth, Avita. I want you to, as we're looking at this, I want you to see the difference in the character of Yehuda, Judah, and Joseph in the next chapter. I want you to see the difference between these two boys, their character of these boys. All right? And he kept on saying, Judah unto Tamar. Palm tree, stately, beautiful, erect palm. Beautiful and stately, beautiful girl. His daughter-in-law, you keep on dwelling as a widow in the house of your father. I'm not going to take care of you. Just go back home and let Daddy take care of you now. All right? Not a very consolatory boy. I mean, this woman is, she's lost two men already. Until he is grown, Shelah, Remember what Sheila means? An agreement, peace. My son, because he said, lest he dies too. Let he stays on dead. He keeps on dying and stays dead. Also, he, like his brothers, and she went, Tamar, and she dwelled in the house of her father. All right. Judah's deceit now. Judah's deceit. Wayerbu. Hayamim. Watama. Bat. Shua. Isheth. Yehuda. Yin Nakim. Yehuda. Wayala. Allah. Gaza. Zel. Z. Gaza. Z. Haso. Q. And we got Wichara, Re'ihu, Ha'adalami, Timnata. All right. And they became many the days, and she died, the daughter of Shua. This is Judah's wife now. She died. Judah's wife, yes. Her name's Shua. Shua, yeah. The daughter of Shua. Remember, I don't know if we had her name earlier or not. I think we did, yeah. What was her name? Did it give her name? Earlier, I think it gave her name. He liked her. She was beautiful. Anyway, this is the daughter of Shua. And wife of Judah. And he kept on being sorrowful. He kept on being sorrowful, Judah. And he went up unto the shearers of his flock. And he, and Hirah, his friend, the Adullamite, to Timnah. All right? To Timnah. Now, the word friend there, it means to feed, it means to nourish, it means to graze, it means to associate together with, it means a companion, a friend. Eating and drinking buddy. That's what it means. This is his eating and drinking buddy. Old Hira. And Hira means what? Nobility, affluence, or distinction. This old Hira was. He was a big shot. A big shot. Wealthy man, affluent man. Why, Yah God? You do want to go a little further. You want to put in the middle of the story, do you? Okay. Litamar, Lemor, Hene, Hamit, Aliyah, Timnata, Lagaz, Sona. And it was told and kept on being told to Tamar, this beautiful, erect, stately woman, saying, behold, your father-in-law was going up to Timnah to shear his flock. Now, she knows what kind of character he is. This man is of low character. He's got eating and drinking buddies, and he's on a party. He's seeking a party time, all right? A big party. And he's going up there to have a good time. Remember what those boys did before when Joseph was running around? Remember they went up to the cities and they were playing with the girls of the night. All kinds of stuff, drinking and laying up with these girls. Lots of salt. Big day. Aluminata. I'll get it right. Mi Aliha. Watikas, Batsaf, Watilalaf, Watishev, Bifita, Enayim, Asher, all direct, Timnah, Ti, Ra'ata, Ki, Gadol, Shelah, Wihu, Lo, Netina, Lo, Leisha. And she removed the garments of her widowhood from upon herself, her wrappings. And she covered herself. She kept, intensely she did this, and she kept on covering herself in a veil. All right? Now, these prostitutes wore veils a lot of times because they didn't want anybody to know who they were really were. And she gets out there, and she sets out there to where she thinks a temple prostitute's going to sit. Remember, prostitution was part of paganism. All right? Prostitution was part of it. They would go out, and they would sell themselves, and they'd take the money and donate it to the temples, to the gods. All right? And she removed her garments of her widowhood from upon her, and she covered herself with a veil. And she had enwrapped herself, and she kept on sitting at the entrance of Enaim, which is upon the way to Timnah, because she had seen that was grown up, that he was grown up, Shelah, and she not having been given unto him for a wife. Now she did this. All right, so she takes off her modest garments of a widowhood, and she goes out there and dresses like a harlot. And she sits by this gate where those boys got in trouble before. Judah had been here before. Okay? 38 and 15. Wayik Awayiriha. Yehuda Wayashiviha. Lezona Ki Kisita Baniha. And he saw her. He kept on looking at her, Judah. And he kept on considering her for a harlot. For harlotting is what it literally says, for harlotting. Because she had covered her face. All right, she's acting just like a harlot. She's covered her face now. Evidently, he didn't know much of this. This is a beautiful harlot, though. Remember, she's pretty. She's tall and stately and beautiful. All right? She's a pretty girl. A girl of the night. But out here, she's a girl of the broad daylight. Why yet? Ilaha, El Hadarek, Wayomer, Hava, Na, Hava, Aliyek, Ki, Lo, Yada, Ki, Kalato, Ki, Watomer, Ma, Titim, Le, Ki, Taval, Ile. All right, now here we have a contract. Old Judah's making a contract with this prostitute. All right? He's really in low company right now, he thinks. He thinks he's hid from his family and he's out there in low country, having a good time. And he turned aside unto her, unto the way, the Hadarek. And he said, give. Come and give now. Please, let me literally have sex with you, unto you. Let me come in you, because not he had known that his daughter-in-law, she. And she kept on saying, what, ma, what will you give to me that you may come? You may keep on coming into me. All right? What are you going to give me? What price? 38 and verse 17. Wayomer. Onoki. Ashelah. Gadi. Izim. That old machine didn't turn on. That's all right. I hope we got it on the other one. Man, Hatzon, Watomer, Yem, Titten, Ira, Vom, Ad, Shale, Chika. And he kept on saying, I will send. I will keep on sending a kid, a Gedi, of the goats, of the strong ones, a goat. The goat means strong ones. I'll give you a child of the goats, a kid, a youngster of the goats, from the flock, from the small cattle, the zon. And she said, and she kept on saying, if you will give a pledge unto you sinned it. Cal intended contract with suffix, second person, masculine, and singular, unto you sinned it. 38 and verse 18 now. Wayomer. Ma. Ha-er-ra-phon. Asher. Eten. Lok. Watomer. Chatomika. Ufiltelika. Umatika. Asher. Beyadika. Wayaten. La. Wayavu. Eliha. Watahar. Lo. I'm going to tell you something. If you're mild of character and timid and shy, you shouldn't read the Old Testament. It's simple as that. I'm telling you. Because, boy, it's brazen in what it says. And straight out. It doesn't miss a stroke. It's there, straight. And he said, what? The pledge which I shall give to you. And she said, your signet ring. That's the signet ring that they used to seal everything that was, if they wrote out a contract, it was sealed with that signet ring. It has his name and lineage on that signet ring. And your cord, that's your belt. And his belt also had his lineage on it. All right? His family history. And your staff, which had his family history on it, written and carved into it. So what is she asking for? I want your name. I want your signature and of her family history, which in your hand. And he kept on giving to her, and he came into her, he kept on coming into her, he hung around her for quite a while, probably all day long, because he just kept on doing this. He spent the whole day with her. Unto her, and she kept on, she caught the seed. God had allowed her to conceive. And she would have twins. Twins. All right. 38 and 19 now. And we will quit here pretty quick. Watakam. Watalek. Watasar. Sisipa. Ma'eliha. Watelbash. Big day. Ale Nuta. And she rose up. She kept on rising up and she walked. Kept on walking. And she removed and took away her veil from upon herself, and she put on the garments of her widowhood. All right. And you want to start here next week, or you want to read this verse? You want to read this verse? Vayishla. Vayishla, that is. Yehuda et Gedi ha-izim biad Rehu Ha Adulami. His drinking buddy, see? Lakashat Ha Iravom Mizad Miyad Ha Isha Wilo Mitzah. All right? And he sent, he kept on sending Judah the kid of the goats. By the hand of his friend, the Adullamite. Old, what was his name? Ira? Alright. To take the pledge from her hand, from the hand of the woman. In other words, she had his belt, which had his name on it. She had his staff, which had his name and lineage on it. And she had what? His signet ring. She's got it all. And not he did find her. And not he did find her. Well, there is the beginning before we can start off next week. Is that all right? We'll start here next week. And we went from what to what tonight? We started at 37, 32 to 38, 21. We covered a lot of ground. I try to cover as much ground as I can every week because I never know when I'm going to make it to the next week. So I give you all I got. You got any questions? Pretty wild story, isn't it? Pretty rough around the edges, Brother Abe. Tamar, she was his wife, really. Yes. When he had sex with her, she became his wife. That's the act of marriage. He thought he was having sex with a prostitute. And that's the act. Sex is the act of marriage. Now, that's it. Okay? When you have sex with somebody, you're married to them. Simple as that. Well, he was married to her. He just didn't know that he was married to a good woman. All right? And to his daughter-in-law. All right? And he's going to have a real big surprise next week. Is he going to have a surprise? Now, here we have all of this. What a story, wasn't it? This is quite a story. It's not for the timid. The Bible is not for the timid. You go back in the Old Testament, and the Lord just lays it out like it is. He tells all the good things and all the bad things, period. All the good and all the bad. Well, Judah, now remember who Judah was and remember what Judah is, and then compare him to Joseph. But this is going to be the father of the Messiah. And this is the mother of the Messiah. This is where the lineage goes back. This is where the lineage started. Right there! Can you imagine that? Look at the lineage of the Messiah. When Israel goes into the promised land, we got Ruth the Moabitess. Moab means what? That was a child of incest, water, semen from the father. Ruth the Moabitess. We have Rahab the harlot, the prostitute, right there in Jericho. And all of these are in the lineage of the Messiah. What it means is that God can do wonders with bad people. He can change them and make them upright. And what He has cleansed, what I have cleansed, Jesus said, let no man call unclean. Because God looks upon them through the blood of Jesus Christ. And even this wild man would be the father of the Messiah. Thank you for your attention tonight and for studying God's Word with me. I hope you learned something from it. Dakota? You want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer? No. That a bad look? That was a wild look, I think. All right. Chris, would you like to come up here? You want to come up? No. How about you, Brother Roger? Roger. All right, Roger. Okay.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to assemble and listen to your word and have it explained to us so that we can understand. Help us to apply information that we learn from your word in our everyday lives as we go about and meet with other people. Guide us and direct us in your way. Be with our health and Jim's health. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank all of you for your prayers. You've kept me alive another week.